description. Majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Good morning, friends. Good morning, you beloved community, you beloved children of God, which is your identity and calling that no one can take away. For those of you who are guests among us today, if you're here in person or watching online, we're so glad that you're here. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for your presence with us today. All of you can take care of maybe some of these cards that you see up on the screen, those yellow ones, if you want to send out some encouragement to folks in the congregation, whether they're here in person or not. Those blue ones are letting us know that you're here. The pink ones, if you have a prayer request that you would like to share with our shepherding team. For those of you who have been with us the last 2 weeks, we are in the season of Advent, when with active waiting and watching eyes and open ears, we prepare ourselves for whatever it is that God may be bringing into the world. To help us do that through our services, at least, we have a full bulletin printing. Hopefully you picked up one of these on your way in. If you don't have one, then there are several out in the lobby. You may want to grab one of these, please. These will have all of our scriptures and songs and our prayers written out for us, which is our collective song and scripture and worship today. These are our words that we get to share as one today. So we're so glad that you're here. A little bit later, we're going to share communion together. If you're watching online, please grab the bread, crackers, juice, water, wine, whatever you're using for that, and share with us later in the service in that, please. And of course, everybody, this little guy is hiding somewhere in this room. Last week was a little too easy, I admit. Nora found it in 5 seconds flat. It's a lot harder this time, okay? It is somewhere in this room. When we stand and sing in just a few moments, you young children are welcome to walk around the auditorium to try to find it. Some of you adults, I would love for you to maybe walk around the auditorium too, see if you can find it. Let's give it a shot. But that's here, and we do Hidden Jesus these weeks during Advent to teach us. We're always looking for him. Where is he located? What's he doing? What's he up to? I want to find him. That's why we do that. Our third candle of Advent is pink, and I am wearing pink also today. Pink symbolizes joy. Pink is the color of joy, and the third Sunday in Advent reminds us of the joy come into the world by God through the person of Jesus. With that, we light the candle of joy, adding it to the candle of hope from week one, into the candle of peace from week two. Light is increasing in the darkness as we make our way to Christmas. For a call to worship, please, I invite you to stand with me. You can follow along in your printed bulletin, or you can look up on the screen. This is our call to worship from Isaiah 12. If you will please follow along in the bold in your program or the yellow up on the screen. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel. Let's remain standing as we sing together.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds all were watching while seated on the ground. A light from heaven descended and glory shone around. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. This light shone in the heavens to cover all the earth. It was a sign to tell men about our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The wise men come to worship the holy child that day. They found him in a manger, asleep in on the hay. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Looks like they found the baby Jesus. All right. And I can't sing the song without thinking of Lupe. I know this is your favorite song.
O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn. And into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day.
Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of rest, for the redeemed, the good, the blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Our prayer of adoration today, if you will respond with the parts in bold or yellow. Lord God, astonishing Creator, we rejoice in all that your love has made. From the furthest glittering galaxy to the most minute and mystifying molecules that make up our bodies. From the unfathomable oceans lapping around the earth to vast deserts and skyscraping mountain peaks to quiet trees and city parks and blades of grass we try to keep low. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we say, rejoice. Lord God, known to us in Jesus, we rejoice to know a friend so wonderful who will take our worries and our fears and share them with us, who will take our pains and our puzzlements and heal us by them. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, we rejoice in your free and unbounded grace that unites us, guides us, and lights up our way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we say, rejoice.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive.
Andrew is going to help me with this one. Our reading from Zephaniah chapter 3. Leo, we can go to that first slide, please. There we go. In your bulletin, you see that part in bold, and on the screen, you'll see it in yellow. We're going to sing that part. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. So I will read my part. Andrea will help us sing our collective part. Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Rescue the lame, I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
When I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
About 3 weeks ago, Jesse Gay asked to pray on this day, before he knew that Stanley has passed, and Jesse would still like to do that. So he's going to come and offer our prayers of the people.
Good morning. Father God, we come boldly before you in front of your throne, Father God. Not only for us, but for the people out there, Father God. Father God, get them light. Father God. Father God, give them salvation, Father God. Open up their heart, Father God, and let them see an unseen world, Father God. Father God, you are the God of the Creator of the universe, Father God. Father God, this is a time to worship you, to celebrate you, Father God. Father God, we rejoice yesterday. Father God, today is a new day, a new beginning. And let us rejoice over each and every one of us. Healing have to go. Healing we receive. Sickness have to go. Father God, each and every one of us, we need you. We ask you for comfort. And Father God, we always, always going to call on you, Father God. And you never leave us and forsake us. So thank you, Jesus. In the name, I pray over each and every one of us, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesse. Let's move into a time of silent prayer, please, and then in about 1 minute, Glenn will come up and read our prayer of thanksgiving.
Now we have prayer of thanksgiving. Merciful God, you who forgives, you forgive us through the name. You show us how to begin again, because you are making all things new, even us. We pray in thanksgiving in the name of the one who lives and moves and is, Jesus, born into the world because of your love. Amen.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them.
Thanks, Glenn, and thank you, Dorian. Okay, our youngest friends can head back to the roots table if you would like. Miss Jessica is already heading that way, and she is there ready to receive you for a couple of activities during today's sermon. As you know by now, joy is the theme of the morning. Joy comes in as many shapes and sizes and colors and surprises as there are in the world. As a congregational exercise, if you'll bear with me, I would like each one of you to grab one of those yellow encouragement cards in front of you. If some of your neighbors maybe need some help reaching forward or maybe holding somebody else's young child, you can get one on their behalf. Also grab a pen or a pencil that's sitting there. I would love for everybody to do this, please. Thank you. On that card, I'd like you to think back over your last year, okay? Think back over your last year and answer these two questions up on the screen. Where did I find God's joy? Or where did God's joy find me? Okay? Where did I find God's joy over the last year? Where did God's joy find me? I know this is little warning in advance that you were going to do this, but just write down whatever comes to you. If you want to sign your card, if you want to put your name on it, that's fine. There's no need to. Jessica, if you want to have the Roots kids do the same practice also for a couple minutes, that would be great. When you're done, if you will then please put them in one of these baskets. You see one right in front of me here. There's one behind Larry on my left, and next to Jesse over here on the far side, you can put those in there. If you are in the helpful mood, you can take those cards for other people and go put them in the basket. In a little while, Chelsea is going to come pick them up from those baskets, and we'll talk about those cards a little bit later in our service. While you're writing, Andrea and Brent are going to come and sing a song as we do so. Let's do that now.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into
Thank you both. You're welcome to keep writing, and then when you're ready to put it in the basket or have somebody else do it for you, you can do that during the sermon. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. It's because of Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. How do you measure joy? How do you measure joy? How do you calculate how much joy is in your life and how much joy is enough joy? There's no litmus test that I know of that can compute the amount of joy someone may have. There's no blood work to be done, no finger pricks. Maybe if wires were hooked up to your scalp, researchers could evaluate your brain waves, watching the lines go up and down based on what they told you to think about. Is joy subjective then? Like how your favorite taco shop is subjective. Is joy something you choose? Or is joy something you create? I think about the popular Christmas song, "We Need a Little Christmas." You know this one? Haul out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking. I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Feel free to sing along if you'd like. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Hasn't snowed a single flurry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry. You got it, Andrea. For I've grown a little leaner, grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older, and I need a little angel sitting on my shoulder, and need a little Christmas now, last parts. For we need a little music, need a little laughter, and need a little singing ringing through the rafter, and we need a little snappy, happy ever after. We need a little Christmas now. Chelsea, you can go ahead and grab all these cards when you're ready. It's a blast of a song, no doubt. And here's your random fact of the day. It was originally sung by Angela Lansbury, of all people, back in the 1960s, the musical she did. But the energy of the song hides a bit what the song is all about. The scarcity of joy and the compulsive need to quickly drum it back up. The person recognizes the leanness, the coldness, the sadness, the oldness of their days, and the antidote against all of that is to whitewash over it with holly and stockings and candles and carols. If I can do a few of these things, tweak my surroundings just a bit, then all will be just fine. The song is about creating your own joy, or at least trying to, without ever asking the question, even if it's even possible to do so. In terms of the spiritual life, if we're in charge of creating our own joy there as well, we've got issues there too. If all it takes is putting up a sign of the word joy with a miniature nativity scene nestled softly into the letter O, there would be one in every front yard and apartment window. But you and I both know by now that manufacturing joy in the workshop of your heart is not the simplest task in the world, especially when the readily accessible spiritual tools you once had hanging on the walls and there are no longer present. Prayer doesn't produce like it used to. Scripture reading doesn't hit home as it once did. Who has the time and space for silence? Did you misplace those tools? Did someone steal them? Did you break them and you had to toss them? Since joy is a fickle friend, unpredictable as it is elusive, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised when we find it absent or different this time of year. Counseling therapists, I imagine, probably have conversations like this all the time, but I have had a few myself with some of you, with persons in our neighborhood, with strangers at the front door of the church office who need to please speak to the pastor. I have no joy anymore. I don't know what happened. I'm just not happy. Joy and happiness, of course, are not the exact same thing, but they're not necessarily opposites either. A thousand things contribute not only to those statements, but also to the loss. The empty chair at your dinner table, your bed designed for two, no longer co-occupied, or it never was. Towns wiped off the map. Children who suffer, parents who suffer, friends who suffer, migrants who suffer, neighbors who suffer. I have no joy anymore. I'm just not happy. Is a common refrain no matter what season we are in. Sorrows that gut joy are often easier to count and measure than joy itself because those wounds seem to stick around much longer. Even when or if those wounds become hardened scars, it's difficult to keep those invisible, especially as they add in number over the span of a lifetime. While marketers do their best to convince us to buy stuff that promises to increase our joy, we know that even though that stuff might temporarily make us feel better or forget, the weary soul can only take so much. For those of us voluntarily sitting in this church building or watching online, on this third Sunday of Advent, we are called not to forget, but to remember, and to remind each other of the essence of the non-commercialized true Christmas joy. Christmas joy is a deep, glad confidence that God's goodwill for the world will outrun all of our troubles and tribulations. I like that a lot. And it's not the easiest thing to do. So let's talk about a couple of ways how to do that. One way to stay committed in a long-term relationship with joy is to look at the past. Sorrows and troubles often take away the ability to remember joy, especially in the moment. But it is a spiritual discipline, I think, to return to remembrance as often as we can. The Hebrew scriptures are full of references to the past. In their psalms and their stories, how God split apart the Red Sea and let the people walk right through it. How God led them to a land flowing with milk and honey. How God protected them. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus once told his friends at a Passover meal. Remembering did not dismiss all the strife that had happened. Egyptian armies, golden calves, a body broken, blood that would run. Remembering doesn't overlook those things. When we can celebrate moments of joy while also acknowledging the moments of pain, we can pronounce God's very presence in all areas of our lives. If you store your digital pictures on your phone like I do, then maybe you have a feature that compiles similar pictures together. A recent trip or the event of a day, phones are smart like that. One that I always look forward to is a year in review, highlighting pictures I took over the last 12 months. That compilation won't come out for a few more weeks, so I went searching for myself, scrolling through and asking two particular questions. Where did I find God's joy? Where did God's joy find me? Same questions you were asked earlier. 12 months ago, God's joy found me in a Sunday nap on my couch, and with me completely asleep, a certain daughter of mine buried me alive under stuffed animals and snapped this picture. Almost 11 months ago now, I found God's joy in a surprise gift I gave to my wife, a painting she thought someone else had purchased and was long gone, but I was the one who purchased it. 10 months ago, when in Houston, the earth quieted down, for a little time at least, joy. 9 months ago, celebrating as we could, Jackie's not yet given birth to baby Joe, and many of you had come to welcome this soon-to-be-born child. 8 months ago, getting a joyful spin around the neighborhood on a new bike belonging to young Christopher. 7 months ago, the joy of turning 40 at the tip-top of a hike in Big Bend National Park, and no amount of low-hanging clouds could hide my gratitude. 6 months ago, sharing meals with neighbors who teach me about being a child of God, and giving away freshly made brownies that one of you in this room had made for them. 5 months ago, starting up Reach to Teach again, and if you ever feel the weight of ease on your shoulders. Come sit at the feet of these children for an hour and experience the joy of God simply through their nearness. 4 months ago, a Bible school that was no vacation, but it was a shared joy given by a gracious God. 3-ish months ago, a meal with this man, Phil Rice, whom we celebrated with great joy, and he had his own joy too, when he unwrapped a birthday gift that my daughter herself made and wrapped for the occasion. 2 months ago, when up from the grave life arose, and angels danced, and a congregation sang, and parents cried, and a young girl testified to the joy that the God who loves her gives. One and a half months ago, these guys at our treats event who make me laugh, who make me a better human being, who teach me to joy anyway. And a bonus picture, how's that? Taken just last week as family and congregational joy slid into blessing. God's joy finding us so surprisingly, so unexpectedly. A few minutes ago, you wrote down your own. Where did you find God's joy? Where did God's joy find you? I asked Chelsea to pick out 10 or so for me that I'm going to read now without having looked through it before, obviously. But I assure you, I will go through all these later. If you wrote some of these online on Facebook Live, I will make sure to go back through those as well. Joy with the ability to attend church again, doing live shows, and hearing live music again. I always find God's joy in seeing his beautiful creation, a beautiful sunrise or sunset, a full moon shining on a still lake, fog filling a meadow. I found God's joy in a napping child. I find joy in stories like Dungeons and Dragons. God finds joy in my prayers. Man. God's joy found me in thrift stores, searching for small clothes, ones for babies whose families are in distress and need. God gives me the means to do so, and he trusts me to stretch all resources. I find joy and peace this way. I found joy in the birth of 3 healthy children born into my extended family. God healed me following surgery and rehab. I am content caring for my mom and living with her. I found joy in sharing times with my grandchildren. God's joy found me by allowing the return to public worship. I find God's joy in food and my parents. God finds joy in my baptism. When we were able to meet together again for worship, I find joy in the family that God has made for me through love. God finds me in my relationships with people. I found God's joy in running, in a body that can move and lungs that can breathe deeply. The joy of running has reminded me that God delights in what I delight in. Thank you for writing those. What our past joys remind us is that if God has acted in joy and for joy before, we can trust that God will do so again. The future tense joys are admittedly difficult to trust when mounting data pulls us the opposite way. The readings from the prophets Isaiah and Zephaniah seek to address that. Their words were spoken to an Israelite people faced with dreadful experiences of exile and threats of destruction, when true joy was not an option on the table. Both Isaiah and Zephaniah, in response, talk about joy in the future. In Isaiah, we read, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, 'Give praise to the Lord, call on his name.'" And in Zephaniah, God says, "At that time, I will deal with all those who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. I will gather you. I will bring you home. I will give you honor." The future tense joys, they come across now as worship songs. "Sing, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all of your heart. And shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." For us Christians, in joy and in hope, we sing of the God who will bring newness in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not rearranging deck chairs or shuffling an old deck of cards, but a God who is always birthing something new and is pregnant with possibility. God is resolute and unrelenting in overcoming whatever seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. God intends for joy and for peace, and God is faithful, and God will do this. Past joy, what God has done, and future joy, what God will do, fashions us into a present joy, what God is doing now. It's a here and now joy, an even so joy. And this joy draws us into the heart of God who is for us. Present joy sustains us in the come what may, the deathliness we are all affected by. Present joy responds against the evidence with a "but God." Present joy, like John the Baptist's call to repentance, expresses itself in giving clothes, shirts, food, gifts, ears, time. Christmas joy cannot be past, present, or future, cannot help but shape those of us who are the people of God. And as a congregation, in joy, we trust in, we watch for, we work with that evolving and on its way in breaking newness of God. It's already come. It's already on its way. It's already here. God's entrance and goodness, changing our sorrowful mourning into joyful dancing. A deep, glad confidence that God's goodwill for the world will outrun all our troubles and tribulations. Thanks be to God. And together we say, or we type, amen. So let's eat and drink today with joy. Can we do that? We have the bread and the cup here, which is the body and blood of Christ that we get to share every single week with joy. If you are interested in helping share this amongst the congregation, you can come up and join me after I pray in just a moment, and we'll eat and drink together. Let's do that, please. Let's pray, and then you can join me up here. O God, who is the God of hope, the God of peace, and today the God of joy, we give you thanks for the joy that you are, for the joy that you bring, the joy that you give. With open hearts, help us to receive this gift today. Help us to see it now in each other, and especially in this bread and this cup. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear, poor sinners hear the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings. Salvation brings, that loving heart enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
All right, so we now have a chance to give as we have been given. We have a couple of folks who are going to walk around with our offering trays. You can just wave them down, place in your offering, your donation, your tithe. If you have some of those cards, you can put those in as well. If you choose to give online or bring it to the office, that's great. We'll receive it with the same spirit with which you give it. Let's pray together, please. Thanks again, God, for this space to be together, to worship, to encourage one another in faith. We ask that you receive these gifts with the spirit that they have been given, and with them or without them, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. I want to make mention that you were extremely generous these last couple weeks, and last Sunday specifically, for the Missions Love Offering, which we do twice a year, and whatever money is given is split right down the middle between Reiki Hiller and Glenn Langston. You gave roughly $7,000 to them, and so that will completely bless them this Christmas season and the people that they work with. So thank you for your generosity in that matter. A couple of other family matters before we are sent out in benediction. You see up on the screen, poinsettias. We're going to fill this stage around me, behind me, this table, next Sunday with poinsettias. You can give $5 for one of these if you want to give in honor of somebody or in memory of somebody. You have one more week to do that. Make sure to write down whom you are honoring or whom you are giving in memory of. If you wrote that on some of the special contribution cards, that's great. King can take care of that. If you have given online, sometimes the notes that you write don't come through, so please make sure to notify King if you have four or five people that you want to honor. Make sure that he is aware of that, and we'll have a list of everything next Sunday. One more thing, we have our children's and youth Christmas party immediately following our services. We'll head over to the fellowship hall and enjoy some games and some food and a couple of crafts for this Christmas party. Parents, 1 o'clock is the time that we'll be done with that. 1 o'clock, you can come get your child from the fellowship hall. Let me make a quick mention that there are going to be no Bible classes December 26th and January 2nd. We're going to take both those days off, give our teachers a break, and we will resume that on January 9th. Today and next week, we will have classes, though. All right, you see the listing of classes up on the screen. Hope that you choose to stick around for a little bit after we're dismissed from here and join one of these groups, including prayer team, several adult classes, and whatnot. All right, for our benediction today, will you please stand as I read from Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Friends, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God.